Thank you, Kevin. We're going to start with a text in John chapter 3. If you'd like to open your Bibles there to John chapter 3, we're going to begin with a text that is likely familiar to most of us, an encounter that Jesus has. And I'd like us to read together, beginning in verse 1 of John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." John chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 from the New King James Version. From this text, it becomes very clear to us that Scripture teaches that one must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. Here, he explains, at least to the degree that he describes it as being born of the water and of the Spirit. If you turn in your Bibles, though, over to 1 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter tells us even more about this idea of being born again. And we see that it is brought about when one is obedient to the truth or obedient to the gospel. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 22, Peter writes, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." Notice this. "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." Notice in this text, one obeys the truth. In this text, this is the gospel that was preached. And it is in this text that we see that it is that word that brings about one's being born again. As we think about that, if you compare it to physical life, whenever a babe is born, whenever a baby is born, it becomes evident that a baby needs to grow. If a baby doesn't grow, something's wrong. And I find it interesting because if you'd stay in the same text, but just move on into chapter 2, Peter continues with that very idea. Notice in the first few verses of 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Now the question comes, how does this happen? How does this growth happen? And this morning in our first lesson, I'd like for us to follow up with the theme that we're looking at this year, the theme of beginnings, and the lesson that we're going to deal with this month pertaining to that, is this idea of beginning life in Christ. Now, as we mention that, some might say, "Well, I'm already a Christian. Why do I need to hear that lesson?" Well, this is a lesson that is for all of us in many respects. Yes, it is for that one who is a new convert, but it is also for those, perhaps, who are with us this morning that have never been obedient to the gospel, and you're considering whether or not you need to be baptized. You need to count the cost, and you need to think about what is involved in new life in Christ. It is also for those who need to help and encourage those who are in that point of being babes in Christ or new converts. But it's also for those that maybe you've been a Christian for many, many years. But have you grown? Are you still in a condition that would be described as a babe in Christ? Well, let's think together about how we need to begin in Christ. And if we haven't done so, some things that might help us in that direction. I offer to you six very simple ideas. First of all, as we see this comparison to physical birth, the scriptures will often draw that same kind of comparison as it pertains to physical nourishment and spiritual nourishment. Look over in Hebrews chapter 5 with me for a moment. Hebrews chapter 5. And I want us to notice there that the same way that Peter in the text we read a few moments ago described the idea of a newborn babe desiring the pure milk of the Word, the Hebrew writer will use the same terminology but from a little bit different angle. Not so much describing the new convert or the babe in Christ that is dealing with milk, but here the Hebrew writer will describe the idea of you can't just stay with the milk. And I want you to notice what is said. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The first point that I would offer to us as we think about this idea of beginning in Christ is you need to keep a regular diet. That's true physically, but it is especially true spiritually. If we think about the comparisons here of milk and solid food, it's not talking about meat, it's not talking about bread, it is talking about the Word of God. The same way that Peter described that that's the means by which we're born again, the Word of God, the Gospel, we need to continue to feed upon that. There's a text over in 1 Peter chapter 5 that I'd call to your attention that I want us to think about, 1 Peter chapter 5. Last week we talked a little bit in one of our lessons about the duties that the church has to its overseers or elders. I want us to notice something that's said here in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Now, notice the wording here. New King James puts it this way. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Now, I don't object to that translation. Here in the beginning of verse 2, the translators that rendered it shepherd, that's an accurate translation. However, it perhaps doesn't address some of the element that's a part of it. The Old King James would translate it feed. Some will render it tend. And the point is that shepherding involves taking the flock out to pasture so that it can feed, so that it can be nourished. Now, think about that in light of the scripture that is what it's talking about here. It's talking about what elders do, isn't it? Elders are to feed the flock of God, tend the flock of God. Now think about that in light of what the Hebrew writer said about meat and solid food. We as the flock, we as those in submission to an eldership, need to feed upon that which they offer to us. And they do that through our times of worship, through our Bible classes, through various efforts that they make to try to offer spiritual nourishment. And I want to tell you, if we are not doing that both individually in our personal Bible study and then feeding upon that which our overseers offer to us, we're going to starve ourselves spiritually. But secondly, we also need to recognize that this is not a solitary prospect. Over in the book of Romans, I want us to notice a couple of statements. Now, we often look in Romans chapter 14 when we're talking about controversies and difficulties, but I want us to notice two statements. First in verse 7 and then in verse 19, that I think really address this concept we need to really plant in our minds when we are understanding our new birth in Christ. And that is that we don't go about this process just on our own. It is something in which we must engage with one another in this service to the Lord. First of all, and remember, in this context of talking about those that perhaps had come out of Judaism, are wrestling with, well, can I eat these meats? Must I still observe these holy days? Listen to what the Apostle Paul says here to the brethren in Rome. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. Our lives here on earth in general, and especially our lives here on earth spiritually, as we become a part of the family of God, are such that we've got to engage with one another. We've got to interact with one another. And so it is with the new child of God. When you come into Christ, don't sit back and think, all right, I'm doing this all on my own. Now, yes, on the day of judgment, you will stand before God as an individual. But the way in which God strengthens you as an individual has to do with your interaction with one another. Go down to verse 19 in the same chapter. And I want you to notice as this discussion continues and there are things pertaining to this very issue, I want us to notice an admonition that the apostle gives there in verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Now, here's the thing that I think as a new child of God, we must understand. And maybe if we've been Christians for years, but we haven't got this, we need to really plant it in our mind. We engage with one another spiritually so that we might, notice the wording here, edify. What does edify mean? Edify means to build one another up. I need you to help build me up. You need me to help build you up. And that's something even the young convert needs to understand. It's not just about sitting back and what can you do for me? How can you strengthen me? That's part of it. But even as a young convert, even as a babe in Christ, we must come to recognize that we have responsibilities to try to help build each other up. But let's look at a third thing. And we're going to kind of hit this in a couple of different ways. That is, we must absolutely be certain to change our old patterns. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4 with me for a moment. I think perhaps one of the great difficulties in the parable of the sower and its descriptions of some of those that start well and then their growth fails. One of the problems comes when you just continue to act and do the same things you used to do. And I want to tell you that if you have come to Christ and you are still living exactly the same way you did before you obeyed the gospel, something's not as it ought to be. Listen to the wording that Paul uses in Ephesians, and we're going to look in a few moments at a similar passage in Colossians. But for right now, let's start in Ephesians chapter 4 and begin with me in verse 20 and go down to verse 24. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you, notice this, put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Think about that idea. Scripture pictures it as when we are baptized into Christ, we bury our old life, our old person. Now, that doesn't mean that relationships, we can't continue family relationships. Well, we absolutely need to prioritize. And if our family takes us away from God, we've got to serve God first. But we serve our families in accordance with what God's Word teaches. But notice this idea. We put off that old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, that's not going to be an easy thing. You know, anything that we might describe as a pattern or a habit in our life, maybe something that we've got to really meditate upon, how it is that we can change that. It may be that there are places we don't go that we used to go. It may be there are friends that we used to hang out with that we don't hang out with anymore. It may be certain hobbies or habits or even entertainment that we engaged in that's got to change. But I'm going to tell you that if you start life in Christ and nothing has changed, you're not going to grow. In fact, you're going to fall. But as we think about that, I think one difficulty may be as well. You know, when one is obedient to the gospel, they're excited. They are enthusiastic. They rejoice in their salvation in Christ. And then what happens? Well, I think sometimes they may come into it with an expectation that, all right, I'm putting away sin. I'm not going to sin anymore. And then what happens? You stumble into sin. Or maybe you go through a period in which your enthusiasm wanes. And if you ever imagine that being a Christian is going to be that you're always top of the world every day, you're always as excited as you were when you were baptized into Christ, you have a misconception. Expect that there are going to be those times when you stumble. Expect that there will be those times in which you may face struggles of faith or setbacks. A couple of passages. James chapter 3. Notice what James says in the context of talking about the tongue, a very simple and general statement is made that all of us need to understand. And whether you've been a Christian for 50 years or you've been a Christian for 5 days, you need to recognize what is said here. James chapter 3, verse 2, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body." Now, don't misunderstand. That doesn't mean, okay, we all stumble, so it doesn't matter. We all stumble, so I don't have to strive to put off sin. No, remember, we put off our former conduct, but expect that there will be those times in which we struggle and stumble. And don't imagine that, well, I've stumbled, so I'll just give up now. No, that's not the idea. Look over in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. The Apostle John will speak in very clear-cut kinds of concepts in many cases. If you're in Christ, you walk in the light. But the Apostle John also in 1 John will talk about the fact that God expects and understands, and we should expect and understand that there will be continual struggles. Notice with me if we don't see that here in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." That's the goal. We don't take it for granted. We don't just assume we're going to sin, but we strive not to sin. But notice, he then goes on to say, "And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world." So don't allow the fact that there are setbacks, that you do stumble, to make you just throw up your hands and give up. Expect that, but keep going. But a fifth thing I'd like for us to think about, and that is we need to absolutely have this commitment that we never stop growing. I tell you, those that are older than me in the faith and that I've had the privilege of knowing over the years, something that continues to impress me. I remember Brother J.D. Copeland, a fellow who was preaching in Springdale, Arkansas, just before I went there for my first full-time work in Springdale. He made a statement that has stuck with me ever since then. He pointed out that the more you learn, the more you realize what you don't know. And I think there's a lot to that, because as we think about it, if I have been in Christ for a long period of time, I might be very tempted to think, all right, well, I've grown. You know, I'm full grown now. There's nothing else I need to learn. Friend, if that's your attitude, you don't realize how much you don't know. We need to continue to grow. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, the Hebrew writer, when the statement was made that we looked at, that by this time you ought to be teachers, you're still feeding off of milk instead of solid food. That should not be misconstrued to imagine that, well, once you get to that point that you're always eating meat, then there's no growth that continues to take place. That's not the idea. In fact, Peter writes to us here after describing some things pertaining to final judgment and the end of the world. I want you to notice what is said here. In 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 17, it says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." Just as kind of a side note, and this is spiritual but also physical. You know, often you'll see it in people when they get to that point that, well, I'm retired now and I'm not, you know, I taught Bible classes in years past. I'm not going to do that. You know, I've done these things spiritually, so I'm just going to kind of back off. What happens a lot of times to people when they seem to just have an attitude in their physical life or in their spiritual life that says, well, I'm done. Now I'm just going to sit back. Well, what happens is they begin to, not only physically sometimes people can just begin to decay, but spiritually that can be the case as well. I hope my health will allow me, but I want to just continue until they put me in the ground to continue to study, continue to grow, and allow it to be something in which, as the text puts it here, we are continuing to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. But then, the last point I'd offer to you, and I want us to kind of go back to the point we looked at earlier. Remember earlier we talked about the idea that we've got to change old patterns. Part of that involves embracing new patterns or embracing a new life. I mentioned the text that Ephesians and Colossians are very similar. And I want us to look at this together. Colossians chapter 3, let's begin in verse 5 and go down to verse 11. And while it's very similar, I want you to notice some subtle differences that the apostle makes here in this idea of old man versus new man. Verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Notice this idea. You put off the old. You change those habits. You change those old patterns. But in doing that, if you just put off things and you don't then begin to adopt new practices, you just kind of leave a vacuum, don't you? Instead, we need to embrace those new elements of our life in Christ. And that means faithfulness in worship. That means faithfulness in Bible study. That means interacting with one another so that we can build each other up and edify one another. And if there are those times that we've had a setback, if we are continuing in these new patterns, we're doing new things, then it can be that my brothers and sisters in Christ will see, you know, Kyle, you have this struggle, and I want to help you with that. We must embrace that different life. Well, there are many things, certainly, that we could look at in addition to these, but hopefully these points will help challenge us as we think about what it means to be born again, what it means to engage in this new life in Christ. If you're here this morning and you have never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, would you not be born again? Put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Confess that faith before men. Repent of sin that separates you from God and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.